Good morning. We're in lesson two, and we're in chapter three.
That's where it gets confused.
Chapter three, a wife's understanding of sin and God's provision. Was there anything that stood out to anybody in this chapter?
I just found, in doing partners and doing self-confrontation and now doing this, and then Pastor Mark's sermons about the whole put off and put on. That just has been reinforced everywhere I look. And it was when I was sort of first introduced to it, it made so much sense, but I had never really thought about it before that, you know, you can say, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore, but what are you filling it with? Where's the positive aspect of that? Mm-hmm. So that, it's just amazing that God has just reinforced it, like, across the board.
Yep. Okay, well, let's get to the questions then. And I want to skim over a little bit, but not that much, because I feel like this is a foundational lesson about sin. We need to understand it ourselves so that we can help women identify sin in their own lives. Okay, list the four characteristics of sin in this chapter and include the scripture reference for that.
Romans 3:23, it's universal. All have sinned.
All have sinned, right. And all means all, right?
Absolutely. Every time.
There's none of us who can say that we don't sin. Okay, what's another one?
Can't be hidden from God. 1 Samuel 16:7 and Hebrews 4:13.
Okay.
Galatians 5:19-21, it's open and obvious to others. It's evident was the word used in the verse.
Something I thought about was, can we be oblivious to our own sin?
Yes. That's why we have other Christians and husbands. And
Okay, so we need each other in order to help us identify it and not deny it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are very obvious sins that we can see in others, but we have these blinders on ourselves. We have the log in our eye, and we're trying to pick the speck out of somebody else's eye. Okay, one more.
Penalized. Romans 6:23 and Isaiah 53:11.
Okay. So
the wages of sin.
We actually get paid for our sin, right? The wages. That kind of is a sobering thought.
I think the important part about that is it is justified.
It is justified.
God is a holy God and He is just in our being penalized.
Absolutely, and we're going to be talking about what does that mean to be justified. We'll just skip down. What does it mean to be justified by God?
We're declared righteous because of Christ, or on Christ's account, because of what He's done for our sins.
And I think I've heard Pastor Mark say, because of Christ's righteousness, God sees us in the light that we have not sinned. Mm-hmm. It's as if we had not sinned, just as if I had not sinned. But I don't want to get that wrong. It's because of Christ and through God's eyes and through the righteousness that is given to us through Jesus Christ.
Sacrifice on Christ.
He gives us His righteousness.
God gives us
His righteousness.
God's perspective on you and your sin. We have consequences of our sin. If we're a Christian, what is our perspective on that and our former sin?
Where are you at, Edie?
Number four.
Question four.
Okay.
In the book, in the workbook 10.
if we are Christians, then our sin is dead. We're declared righteous in God's eyes. I think what we need to keep in mind is that does not mean that there are consequences. And we are righteous in the eyes of God because of Christ's righteousness, but if we've committed some sin, if things have been wrong in our life, we may still suffer the penalties here.
Yes, yes.
Yes, absolutely. The old things have passed away, new things have come, but with those old things, there are consequences of our past sin. And just personally, because we were not equally yoked when we were married, and our two sons, our older sons, at this point in their lives are not yet believers. And so that is a consequence that we have been dealing with and we continue to deal with. And we just have to trust the Lord for their salvation. They're not yet saved.
I was interested about if the prior sins affect your marriage, speak with your husband. And I thought, wow, that kind of got me, even though I don't have a husband. But, you know, even though you may have repented and been forgiven, things may crop up in your marriage.
Yes.
In previous lives that, oops, I didn't know that.
Yep. So what could you do about that?
Talk to your husband and tell him of your prior sins.
Okay, and without a husband, you could
Christian friends.
Talk to your pastor, mm-hmm. Talk to your elder. If you have a believing man in your life, a son, a father, a brother that you could confide in, that would be another source on that hierarchy of our lives, to have a husband over us, or an elder over us, or a pastor over us, and then over them, the Lord.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
What about Christian counselors? How do you feel about that?
Well, if your counselor is a pastor, your pastor, I think that would be okay. Mm-hmm. I think, and this is my own personal feeling, I don't know all of the qualifications for a Christian counselor, because I've heard people who've had some bad experiences, and I wouldn't want that to harm somebody. I don't know.
I think there's a difference between Christian counseling and biblical counseling.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Biblical as well.
Yeah,
okay.
It's you know, and not all biblical counselor. You know, like I think that, like Edie said, I think you start with your pastor because they are the ones shepherding you. They are the ones, you know, who will give an account.
And they would also lead you to someone else who's gifted in that area, who is biblically based. It's very popular. Christian counselors are very popular, but they are not all created equal. And they can do more damage than good in many cases if they are not biblically based.
Mm-hmm. My son is a biblical counselor. Mm-hmm. He graduated with a 4-year degree, but he doesn't, that's not his job, but yet because the company he works for, he uses it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And getting along with people and talking to people and talking down, you know, customers and making them feel better, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So every day he's, I'm sorry, bye.
It's okay.
Throw that in.
No, that's good.
This is something that we need to remember to speak truth to younger women about their concerns going to their husbands and not going to their neighbors or going to other friends, going to their pastors, as opposed to speaking and seeking truth from the wrong people. And I think this is an easy thing to do, and we probably are guilty of it ourselves, you know, going to a friend as opposed to going to your husband or going to your pastor about an issue, especially about our pasts.
I'm not talking about our past now, but like you're just saying that it's not a good idea to do that, but aren't we asking our people we're spiritually mothering to talk to us about concerns they have?
Yeah, I think what I'm thinking of is gossip. I don't want there to be gossip, but if you are confided in by a younger woman, you want to speak truth from scriptures, right. Not from
right.
What you feel
opinions.
Opinions, mm-hmm. Right.
I love the way Pastor Mark defines gossip. He says, when you're talking about a situation to somebody who can't help you with it or do anything about it, you've crossed over into gossip. If you're in a mentoring relationship that's confidential, because mentoring relationships should be, to a degree, you should be free to do that, and that person, you're seeking biblical truth from that person so that they can help you apply it, then I don't think that that's gossip. Mm. But
and I think you have to know your own limits hand in hand with that, to say you need to take this to the pastor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you get to that point,
it's a serious issue, and just as pastors have a very serious commitment to the Lord and will answer to Him for everything that they share and teach, we as women, this is a serious commitment when you are mentoring someone. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's why we want to be grounded
in the Word.
In the Word, mm-hmm. Right. And to know what God's truth says. So when we have sin, when there is sin, repentance is necessary. And what else is required?
I like the idea of renewing your minds with godliness. Just not repenting, but putting everything in front of you that's godly. Out of your mouth, your actions, and such.
The two words they used were work and time. We don't often eliminate the sins in our lives just by repenting and going on. It's a constant discipline and confession before the Lord and dependence on the Spirit and being aware of what Sue was talking about, replacing that with positive things, and that takes work and it takes time.
Yeah, and that kind of brings us to the next question about that word gymnazo. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's how you especially say it, but that sin erodes our relationships with our husbands, with others, and who could explain what that word means, gymnazo?
It's discipline. I mean, it's thinking in terms of exercising. It takes persistence. It takes stamina. I mean, it's not an easy road, and it has to be. The consistency, I think, is the key point there. It's just like any kind of exercise. It has to be ongoing. It has to intensify, actually. You know, we talk about every time you open the Word of God, you see something that perhaps you never saw before. You know, things hit you, or, you know, you hear a message preached, and you say, oh, you know, that was meant for me, or I never thought of it that way. It should be that way in our lives. You know, it should grow ever deeper and more strenuous, not just every day.
I like the idea of, they said, to train, to repeat, and to form habits. And in terms of, like you were saying, in terms of discipline and exercise, it's like muscle memory,
right.
Where it's reflex.
Exactly. Yeah.
And rather than the reflex being the bad thing, you want the reflex to be the godly thing, and you can't do that unless you're
training.
Constant.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Training.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it requires daily work. Mm-hmm. You lay off your exercise for a period of time, and then you've kind of like taken
a step back.
So it's a daily exercise to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, like it says in 1 Timothy 4:7.
Steve and I were, you know, bringing up children. We called it the ministry of repetition. You just have to do it over and over again. And we have to do that with our
animals, too. What do they call it? An animal? Stimulus and response, right?
Yes.
The best thing was my three-year-old boy would constantly, I'd put him into bed, he'd constantly walk out, put him to bed. And one night, I was like, I've got to nail this. So that's what I did. He'd come out, I wouldn't say anything, I just put him right back in the bed. He'd come out. So that was the repetition, and it worked. He was like, well, this isn't any fun, you know?
You won. Because it was a battle.
Oh, yeah.
You had to win that battle.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are many battles that go over and over again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we have to keep at it and be diligent. I think that's the word that hit me, diligence with that.
Yeah.
And that's probably an area where I lack the most is diligence. So I want to encourage you to discipline yourselves. I want to discipline myself for the purpose of godliness. Okay, so I did send out to you the typo on the pages.
Yes.
So it was 261, and I want to kind of go over these pages here, the put off and the put on. And let's see. Okay. It's all in the scripture here about putting off and putting on. And we could see in Ephesians 4:22, we put aside the old self, we put on the new self. In Ephesians 4:25, we lay aside falsehood. And then we put on speaking the truth, each one with his neighbor. We put off stealing. Let him who steals steal no longer, but put on. Let him labor that he may share with those in need. We put off bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander. And we put on a kind and tender heart. We forgive each other just as God in Christ has forgiven us. And the overt sin that we have, like in that paragraph right under there, begins in your heart with what you desire. What you want in part determines how you talk to yourself. And a person may be somewhat successful at modifying outward behavior, but the only real way to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ is to think according to his word, Romans 12:2. And I think he memorized that at one time or another, but let me read it for our own edification. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the wrong and sinful thoughts and then how we counteract that, and maybe you have in mind a scripture verse that will go along with that. Okay? So a wrong, sinful thought. I hate him. And a right thought. I don't feel love for him right now, but I choose to love him by responding in a kind way. Is there a verse that anybody has that could go with that?
Where are we?
Page 24.
Yeah, we're on page 24. This is not, these are not questions in your book.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're going to look at the book, though, on page 24.
I was back in the put-off thing.
I know. We're going to do that, too. Because I think those are good.
Oh, I see.
So you want a verse for that first one?
Okay, yes. Do you have a verse?
Whatsoever things are lovely.
Okay.
Think on these
things.
Think
on those things. Uh-huh. Good.
Which one?
Is anything
him?
Good?
Are you looking at I Hate Him?
I Hate Him.
I think John 13, I think 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Love one another. Or even Ephesians 4:29, that we have, be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Okay, there's no hope for this marriage. And a godly response would be, if he repents, there's nothing that I cannot forgive and that we cannot work through. And again, I thought of Ephesians 4:29, forgiving each other. Anybody else have a verse that comes to mind with that?
If we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive.
Mm-hmm. The Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, we kind of forget that.
Yep. Okay, I can't be what God wants me to be because my husband is not a righteous man. And I've heard this from wives whose husbands are not believers, and I know that that's a very difficult thing. But a godly right response would be, he may be a complete failure before God, but I do not have to be. I can be pleasing to God whether he is or not. One verse that I thought about with that is Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And another verse, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So while we may have sorrow, we can still think on the word of God. Let the word of God richly dwell within us and have a heart of thankfulness and a heart of peace. A wife might say, I can't take the pressure anymore. But a godly response would be, I can take the pressure since 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able to bear. And this is one that really is one that could be very hurtful and be very hard for a woman to live through and accept. And so we want to...
I used to hate this verse. Because there were so many times I failed and then it just made me feel worse, you know, back in the past. But now I love it. But
yeah. What about the verse, do not be anxious for... anything but your prayer and supplication.
With thanksgiving.
Let your request be made.
And I can do all things.
Peace of God strengthens me. Yeah, I can do all
things. Okay, Philippians 2:13.
And let not your hearts be troubled in this world. You will have trouble. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I have overcome the world.
Exactly.
Okay, I wish I could be with my friend's husband. He's so kind to her. Godly response. Thank you, Lord, for my husband. What can I do for him to show him that he is special to me? Ephesians 5:33, wives, respect your husbands. And this could be a hard one for a woman whose husband is not a believer, but you can respect your husband for his going to work to support the family every day. You can respect your husband for a little thing, like taking out the garbage maybe, but you find something for which you can respect your husband, big or little, and that will build on itself.
And be thankful and let him know you're thankful for those things, because that is part of the grace that we exhibit within our home to unbelievers, is finding those things, because those are stepping stones to working with the Spirit, you know, to encourage.
Yeah, and it builds on itself.
It does.
You see little successes as time goes on, but sometimes it's really hard to find one thing for women whose husbands are not believers, find one thing for which you can be thankful, or one thing that you can respect your husband for. And I'm one who had that hard time at one point in my life. Mm-hmm. So I remember what that was like. to find something.
Go back
to
and
be
find
thankful.
Out why you liked him to begin with.
Yeah.
There's
something drew you to him, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know.
But that's also a blessing that you can use in your mentoring.
Yes,
with
absolutely.
Those who are struggling in the same way.
Absolutely.
Nothing
yes.
is gone, you know, wasted.
For naught. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Another thing we have to be careful not to ignore in that is the sin of covetousness.
Mm. Of course.
You know, right, it's yeah. not only, you know, that other person. Like, what's going on in your
yeah.
own heart?
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well,
thinking.
It's a double.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, Jesus said if you
yeah.
if you look at a woman lustfully,
that's
we only
exactly.
think of it as women or men, but it's women.
Not.
Too.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you're not satisfied.
Right.
Yeah.
With
and
what
aren't you?
God has gifted you with.
Yeah. Why aren't you? That goes back to be
whether you're single,
for what, yeah.
married, whatever. We need to be content,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's a struggle for me.
Yeah. Myrna, you were going to say something?
it was interesting when Pete was in the hospital how I had to learn to do a lot of the stuff that I didn't do. And you know, my mom was the kind of person where my father did every single thing. And my mom just let him in. And I realized that I was a little bit like that. Mm-hmm. More, and I tried, you know, how we tried to not do the same thing that your parents did. And, but I did realize there was a lot of stuff that that Pete did do. And I had to really learn how to do a lot of things myself. And then when I noticed when, as he's getting better and everything like that, he's getting back into his position where he wants to do everything and anything. That's when I realized, like, oh my gosh, it was just more than just fixing the blinds or this or that. It was more of things that I would notice that he would say, you know, be careful with the car. Don't be careful with this or this or that. And I'm saying, why do I feel like as if I'm an idiot, you know? And I want to say, I know that. Why are you telling me this? And I was beginning to kind of like, Pete, I know that. I know. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I saw him. Yeah. And then I realized, I said, you know what, Myrna, I need to slow down. I need to kind of zip it up. And I said, what should I do? And I said, we've been married for 48 years. A lot of things will not, they're not going to change. Mm-hmm. So I had to really value what I have. And so what I did was I started to turn it around. You know, watch your step there. Thank you, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
What, the car, you know, the car, don't get, thank you, Peter. So I've been saying more, thank you. Thank
yeah.
you, Pete. Thank you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, did you forget the sweater? Oh, I forgot my sweater. Thank you, Pete. You know, rather than being negative about it, like, you know, why? I'm not baby. I'm not this or that or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's
I just
good.
Needed
it
to kind of
that's
share
sweet.
That. I had
it's
to turn that around.
Yeah,
men need to be needed.
He was
protective.
Becoming more protective, and
yes.
I was looking at it as
right.
he was treating me like a kid.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was fulfilling God's role for him as being protector provider.
And I've been saying all the time, more and more and more, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know,
yeah.
Don't take that crack egg there. Thank you, Pete.
Crack egg or something like that. Don't use that crack egg. In other words, don't boil that egg that's already cracked.
Yeah. Okay, the sixth one. I don't dare tell him what I'm thinking. If I do, he will think badly of me.
Mm.
And the godly response would be, I can learn to speak truth in love. God will give me the grace to respond to his reaction, whatever it is. So, just like Myrna. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking the truth there.
Yeah, when Joe and I got married, I had problems with communication with my first husband. It just was not a good scenario. And he had the same problem with his wife. So we made a pact that we were going to be able to say whatever we wanted to say to each other without, you know, just, and then we'll deal with it. Because, you know, I would hold stuff in all the time. But it was really so nice to be able to just say what you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a freedom, but we also have to speak the truth in love. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about, there's timing involved with some of that. I wish he'd leave me alone. Godly response. Thank you, Lord, for a husband who does want to be with me. I put Ephesians 5:20. What does that verse say? Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. So thankful that your husband is interested in you is a good thing, and not interested in somebody else.
I just
or
had
football.
Galatians 6:9 just popped up at me. And it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Galatians
6:9.
Okay. If he loved me, he would be romantic. Godly response. Love does not seek its own. What can I do to show love to him? 1 Corinthians 13. So, you're showing love to your husband by telling him thank you for his protective comments to you. And I think I can say thank you to my husband a lot more times than I do.
Your husband is the, and you see it, I mean, maybe some of you have those kind of husbands that very romantic and things like that, and you know, after so many years, you're going, gee, I wish it was like that, or I wish this did, or whatever. And another, you know, it takes a lifetime, a life tragedy, or something like what we went through. And I remember laying there in bed, and I says, I remember thinking about the sprinkler. He put a sprinkler thing so that I can water my front garden. I really didn't want it, but I didn't have the heart to say, no, don't put that in there. And I would remember all these things, and I'm going, that was his way of showing love for me, mm-hmm. you know, and doing all of these things. So, you know, some of us might be fortunate enough to have those husbands that dote all over, and that's nice. That's the way that person is, you know. But for those of us who say, gosh, man, I wish my husband was me. You know, we need to kind of focus at what the things that they do, and that's their way of showing their love for us.
Mm,
and it takes a while to try to understand it, because we're emotional people.
Yeah.
Us women, we think differently. We're emotional, so we want that, you know. I mean, I got this, you're going to laugh at this. I'm saying this, but I'm still working through it, okay? Yesterday, when I got a haircut, I come home, and, you know, my situation where I just could barely walk, sit down. I'm still waiting for him to say to me, gee, what a nice haircut. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's funny, I laugh at myself and I'm going, it's a haircut. But then I have to think, where is his mind? You know, his mind is on him not feeling that well and things like that and whatever. But I laugh at myself because look at this haircut.
Well, we have expectations. We have expectations. We do.
When I used to color my hair, Jack did not notice.
I remember you telling me this.
Until he'd go to do recyclables and see the box in the garbage. And then he'd come in and say, oh, I like your hair. I mean, one time I kind of said, on a purplish side, because I would buy whatever's on sale with a coupon, and that's what I got.
You know, Bobby, my haircut was drastic. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad before. Any black
They're
person
guys.
Would see that I did something different. You know?
And I would say this to Jack, you're such a guy. And he'd say, isn't it a good thing? You know, we're not supposed to be the same.
Yeah, I can laugh now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can laugh now.
Yeah. And can we say haircut. Better late than never?
Yeah. I'm going to go home and say, hey, Pete, you like my haircut?
Do you know where you went yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Of course,
sometimes
he had to tell
they
me
need
to
a little
carefully
help.
And everything. You know?
Okay. All right. So, just in the summary on page 26, we continue to need God's grace to help us grow and. 1 Peter 1:17-19 is our encouragement. Conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, So while we may have all of these burdens on our hearts, we know that we've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have hope. We have a future with that, and we do not have to be sad or forlorn, because God has, in his sovereign plan, ordained all of these things in our lives, and we can be thankful for that. Okay.
Can I just mention,
yes,
the first part of verse 17 is, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, then conduct yourself. And I just, once again, there, he's so just. And the reminder that, yes, what we do, we give an account for, as Pastor Mark has, you know, been telling us. So I just like that, the first part, mm-hmm, as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I also like the encouragement of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
What was that, Hebrews?
12:1-2.
Thank you.
It's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
What's that?
It's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm, train hard, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we always need to remember is to cover these things in prayer. Mm-hmm. I've been going through the Psalms, and the psalmist always starts out with a recognition of who God is. Our sight needs to be there. And then you pour out your heart with these needs.
Sure.
These he understands. He knows what's going on. And he is listening to us. And we can ask him for things. And even with all the sin we see around us, and even in our own homes, we ask him to deal with those things. But in the end of those psalms, it's always coming back to the hope that we have in the fact that God is in control of our lives, and he will see us through. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will help us through these times. And it is very comforting.
Yes, it is.
And encouraging.
Yes. Yeah,
encouraging. Encourages us to move forward.
That's right.
Because we know that David went through a lot of adversity in his life, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to the next chapter, A Wife's Understanding of Relationships. Okay, according to John 17:21, this is question number one. What did the Lord Jesus pray and ask the Father for regarding the future believer's oneness with God?
Well, become one with God so the world will believe that the Father sent the Son as the Savior.
Mm-hmm. And we would be one with God, mm-hmm, just as he himself is with the Father. Okay. I have come out on page 28. Okay, Jesus also prayed that believers would have perfect and complete unity with each other. And what was his purpose in this request?
To the glory of God.
Yes, and that the world would know that he sent the Son,
yeah,
and that the Father loved him, even as he loved the Son, and that he loved the Father, even as the, mm-hmm, even as he loved the Son.
That goes back to the first question, really, because, you know, we say, okay, he prayed that we would be one with the Father, prayed for that unity, but what exactly does that mean? I mean, Christ was totally obedient to the Father. So in that second part of the question, then, you know, if we are to have unity with one another, what does that mean? 10th. If we were if we are totally obedient to the Father and Christ is our model, then we should be interacting with one another as Christ demonstrated. You know, sort of that domino.
Yeah, and that's how the next paragraph says it should be in our marriages, that we should be one with each other as Christ is with the Father. And it goes into the persons of the Trinity,
right,
being one with each other,
of one mind, one purpose.
I also took out of it that in the verse it says, let me find it, where I'm talking about here, so that the world may know that you sent me, meaning the Father sent Jesus, mm-hmm, and love them even as you had loved me. That was the other part that I took out of it, was that because we're one, the way the Father loves Jesus, he loves us in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I picked that up too, Sue. That's mm-hmm,
that's an awesome thought.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To me, what's really awesome is what we're told, that we are supernaturally given the ability to manifest God's attributes through the Holy Spirit. That to me is absolutely amazing. We're miracles. We really are a room full of miracles, having been chosen before the creation of the world, having been brought into God's eternal family, and to be given all that we need to be that the light, the ambassadors, the lights in the world, mm-hmm, to manifest that love.
Mm-hmm. And to know that every single circumstance in our life was planned before the creation of the world.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind.
It does. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the unity that Christ had with the Father and with the Holy Spirit is what we would want to have, and what the Lord would want us to have in our marriages as well. The Hebrew word for one, or what is the Hebrew word for one and what does it mean?
How do you say it? E-C-H-A-D.
Echad. Echad.
Sounds like you have allergies.
That goes back to Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one.
Mm-hmm.
It is, yes, a Trinity, but it is one.
But that really starts Genesis 1:1.
Thanks.
You know, yeah, the Father, the Son, beginning, the Holy Spirit,
right,
hovering over. Yeah, it's mm-hmm, from the very beginning.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe this is the time to bring this out. Darla, who couldn't be here today, sent me these, and you can take one and pass it around. I don't know if I, so this is just a depiction of the Trinity to help us understand it, and I think we do, but you have three persons of the Trinity. You've got the Father, you've got the Son, and you've got the Holy Spirit, and all of them point to the center. All of them are God. But the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father. But in God's economy, we don't always understand. I don't understand it. They are all God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yet with their own unique personalities.
Thank you.
They have the same nature.
And each of them has their own function, and they're all equal, just as in a marriage. A husband has a function, and the wife has a function, but they're equally valued. So I think this is kind of a good thing to remember, and I was happy to see this, because this is something that we have taught the kids in Kids for Truth. Can you imagine this? It's wonderful.
I like the terms they used, but I also didn't, because it's almost like an oxymoron, a compound unity,
mm-hmm,
like, or a plurality within a unity.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but that's what it is.
Exactly.
It's a plurality,
yeah,
in
yep.
And how does that apply to our marriages or our lives? I mean,
because you're two
you
individuals, but you come together as one.
In a Christian connection, you set goals, you work toward those goals, but you each have your own individual responsibilities toward working toward those goals. But you're united in your thought, you're united in what you're working toward, you're in agreement, you're actually working together, even though you each have your individual personalities.
Yeah. And another picture of that, I think, to help us bring it to church, it's we have a plurality of elders. Mm-hmm. You know, so you think about that, that's each with their own responsibilities, each with their own giftedness, talents, personalities, but to function as a unit, to be in agreement for a unified purpose.
And there's only one way for that to happen. For those of us who've had husbands who've been elders, the only way you can be united is if you agree on the inerrancy of the word, and that's what you're depending on. Mm-hmm. And within a marriage where you're both men of faith or women of faith, that is the same thing. You have to have that basis of
belief.
Yeah,
I take it out even further to say the church body. One
exactly.
body, but a
exactly.
whole bunch of us.
The only
all
way
together.
You can be united, Sue, is exactly, mm-hmm. that's a great point, is that you have that same commonality of belief.
But we still call it, you know, one body.
One body,
yeah.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that neat?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Amazing. Yeah.
And that, when we have God's given us the picture of the body, every aspect of the body is important, whether it's the little finger, the toe, the heart, the whatever it is, we work together for unity.
And one cannot function.
The appendix that they say is not, but it's very important to the immune system.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's good. Okay, let's look at that chart on page 29. And it's the characteristics of the Trinity. And God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. But because of sin in the world, things have gotten perverted. And they are not perfect. So characteristics of the Trinity, which result in perfect harmony and intimacy, versus characteristics of the fallen man, which result in lack of harmony and lack of intimacy. So if we think about, number one, the tenderness and compassionate and merciful nature of God versus the fallen man, not gentle, unmerciful, cruel, what would be some manifestations of that that we could see in our lives that we've seen in others' lives? For instance, on this first one, not gentle, unmerciful, cruel. So harsh words. You know, how maybe you've responded to your husband with harsh words, with saying something cruel. If we go down to open and transparent, part of the Trinity versus characteristic of the fallen man, closed, private, self-protective, what would be an example of something that we could see in ourselves or other women that would be a manifestation of that, that we could identify?
Cold shoulder.
Cold shoulder.
Mm. Keeping secrets.
I was going to say the mm-hmm. silent treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lack of transparency.
Isolation. Mm. Drawing into yourself. Okay. characteristic of the Trinity, goodness toward the other shown by glorifying the other versus malice toward the other shown in tearing the other down to build up self. What could be a manifestation that maybe you've seen?
Gossip.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
Well, you just did it the way that I told you.
Oh, no.
I don't say that, though. I think it, but I don't say
that. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord breathes life into us, and with our words, we can suck the life out of people.
Mm-hmm. The power of the tongue.
Yeah, the power of the tongue. And sometimes if you don't feel good about yourself, you're going to put somebody else down.
Sure.
So that you can make yourself feel better about yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see that in a lot of different relationships, peer relationships and
Well, we do other. We do it with sin too. Like, I'm not as bad as so and so.
Yeah.
So it lifts us up, or my sin's not as bad. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Trinity exhibits love, sacrificial actions for the other, but fallen man is self-seeking, actions for self. So what could be a manifestation of that that you see?
I think even just time.
Yeah,
you know,
time.
Just realizing that, you know, you may have set aside this time to do X, Y, Z, but your husband really needs you to do A and B, and, you know, you prefer him, and you do what he needs.
Mm-hmm. And you say, sure.
Absolutely, like, I'd love to, honey.
I had nothing else to do. I think, too, sometimes we have unrealistic expectations, and Lucy, you mentioned that before about expectations. I think when we exhibit love, we don't have any expectations mm-hmm. of getting anything back. We just give out and give out.
I had a pastor once that I had to keep going and talking to him, and I had to keep hearing, give your expectations to God. I heard that over and over and over again, and finally it sunk in. It took a while.
Yeah.
Give them up.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, so those expectations are not so good when they're unrealistic. Okay, the Trinity has perfect communication with each other, but fallen man... we hurt each other by not communicating biblically. So what could be some examples of that?
Cold shoulder.
How about interrupting
yes.
your mm-hmm. spouse? How about finishing their sentences?
Yeah.
Anybody done that?
I do that.
Okay. The Trinity is honest and truthful, committed to a righteous standard. But fallen man is deceitful, lying, committed to self. How about being sarcastic?
Oops.
Or exaggerating. Oh, you made me feel so terrible. You know, that's the worst I've ever felt. Or whatever.
Say something and then just say, I was just kidding. Because usually when it's said, it's not just kidding.
Yeah.
There's a point
there is
to
a
it.
Bit of truth in all of that.
Yes. And the always
you,
and
you
never.
Knew. You never.
Oh,
knew.
You never.
Always.
Never.
Always.
Never.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. Always.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's
exactly.
Trouble.
That's yeah. Great. Too, like, you don't tell the whole truth. Mm-hmm. Let's say you scratch the car or something. It's like, well,
okay,
you don't really do anything. I don't know. Like, you just don't want to admit sometimes the mistake you made or... You know, you, because you don't want to hear anything back.
That's
like you don't
right.
want to, oh, how come you did that? So you kind of hide. I think, I don't know if it's just me, but I think women are good at that.
I think we are
the
too.
The manipulation of the words.
Yep.
We manipulate the words in a way so that we look good, even though sometimes we are not, you know, we kind of hide.
Yeah.
The thing that happened or, you know, well, yeah, I bought that milk, but it really isn't the kind that you like, but it was on sale, but I don't know how to explain it. Like, you just make yourself look good, and you lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another one down here that we'll get to that I'm guilty of at times, but here's a zinger from J.I. Packer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A half-truth masquerading as the whole truth becomes a complete untruth.
Oh, God.
That hurts. Yeah.
That's a zinger from J.I. Packer.
Yeah. That's like a white lie.
Mm, yeah.
What's a white lie?
Yeah, it's a lie. It's a lie.
Well, no, or it's not. Yeah. Or a venial sin versus a mortal sin.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Why do I even know?
The
Catholic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get that all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would be both.
Through the concept. Yeah.
Okay, so honest and truthful commitment to a righteous standard is what is exhibited in the Trinity. But fallen man, oh, I think we did that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect knowledge and understanding of each other. Fallen man has limited knowledge and revelation of each other. So I guess this is what I was getting to, Lucy, hiding your purchases in the car so you don't have to admit that you bought something that you didn't need or you shouldn't have squandered his money, your money on.
It's usually the other way around in our house. I hardly ever buy anything.
Well, and I think, too, you need to study your spouse a little bit. If you're committed to self, as we've seen in self-seeking, you're not really going to look at the person and just kind of get what they're doing or what they're saying. Mm-hmm.
But to me, see, that's the beauty of a marriage. It you get to know that person or any relationship. If you invest in asking questions and taking time with each other, you get to know each other a bit. Because we all come from different backgrounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's just 48 years later, I'm still finding out things. In fact, I will tell you, I was very vulnerable, and I shared this with my husband the other day. We sat down and we went through each one of them and evaluated our relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was very sweet. Very sweet. But see, we've done that from the beginning, so it was not a threat to either one. Mm-hmm. But we can't improve unless we talk about it and discuss it and are honest with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And Jill has said we need to study our husbands.
Yeah, we do that. We need to know them.
Okay. Number 8, reliable and faithful in their relationship is what is exhibited in the Trinity. But fallen man is unreliable, unfaithful, lacking in trust due to the conditional basis of their relationships, and saying, if you will, then I will. But, you know, could you do this chore for me? And then he comes home and you forgot all about it. Those kinds of things are being unreliable, unfaithful. The Trinity, when working on a task, there's order, purpose, voluntary subordination of the Son and Spirit to the Father, no power play over my rights, versus the characteristics of fallen man, likely to manipulate with anger, tears, threats, to have your own way, and you may desperately cling to your rights, like revenge. And have you ever felt revenge that you wanted to do that? Or how many people have heard the stories about husbands and wives trying to hang wallpaper together or paint together?
Yeah.
I think our first in a room one time, and my husband, he realized that I was trying to help, but I wasn't a real good painter. So he told me to paint the closet. Gave me a little brush this big and put me in. They didn't tell me that until years later.
That was such a sweet response, though. Oh, yeah.
This part's for you.
But you know, that's also part of understanding each other. I'm a perfectionist. My husband is a perfectionist in other areas than I am. And we have had to learn to work together, sometimes separately, like outside. You know, I'm particular about certain things, so we sometimes have our own tasks, but we're still working toward the same goal. And we did that wallpaper thing in a powder room. And I finally said, honey, I think you should just go to bed and I'll finish. You know, it just was.
But you know what, again, you know, I look at those opportunities because some, you know, Doug and I do projects continually. Bought an old house, it's a constant project. There are opportunities to really learn those things about each other and how to make it work. Mm-hmm. I'm the gopher. I'm the helper. I'm the visionary, the color chooser. Doug is labor, 100%. Mm-hmm. He knows. So I think to use your strengths in those things
And appreciate
each other's skills.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
And learn how they are great opportunities. to really get to know each other, to study each other, and see, you know, what you both need to work on and how you work it out.
And to love that difference. How boring it would be if we were all alike.
Yeah.
I want to do that. No, I want
to
do it.
If you're not good at something and your husband is, it's okay, like, to give that over.
Or whatever.
Yeah. My husband likes to cook. I don't like to cook, but I'll do all the dishes. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't like doing the dishes, so... You can work.
It's a nice arrangement.
Right.
Yeah.
So as Christian women, you know, I can see that you are working through these, setting aside the worldly responses and heading toward the oneness that the Trinity calls us to live, and that Jesus Christ calls us to live, to be like Him. So kudos to you. Okay. So I think we can move on to there's some questions that sometimes we ask ourselves. Number 8, list of questions on page 30. What are those questions? Stop asking.
What will it do for me? Mm-hmm. What will I get out of it? How will it meet my desires and needs?
And then start asking.
How can we glorify God? How can we walk in a pleasing manner with God, enjoying Him as we go?
Okay, so we want to, as Paul described, to live as Christ. The next paragraph talks about Belshazzar and seeing the handwriting on the wall and wanting to glorify himself, and that night he was killed. And our book says, was it a worse affront to God when King Belshazzar did not glorify him than when we do not? I think not. God wants us to glorify and serve him now, to think and to act like the Lord Jesus Christ would, and to actively participate in the process of being conformed to the image of his Son. So we need to stop living for ourselves and to live for Christ. In order to be like Christ, and I'm reading from page 31 of the last paragraph, in order to be like Christ, you must think as well as act like Christ. To accomplish this goal, your motivation must change from what can I get out of this to what can I give. 1 Corinthians 13:5, Philippians 2:2-3. Hence, you should expect no thanks or recognition. You are just doing your minimal duty to God. Jesus compared us to the slave who was only doing what he ought. Mm-hmm. So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, you are unworthy slaves, or we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. Luke 17:10. So we're just doing the minimum. We need to have a greater expectation and see the Lord's expectation. Giving of yourself to your husband is not going above and beyond the call of duty. Mm. It is only doing as you ought.
Yeah.
Okay? You ought to be kind to your husband. You ought to be open, transparent, honest with him. Perhaps you struggle with openness, transparency, and honesty. If you do, the reason is that of the sinful man. Being isolated, wanting to be in control, seeking to hide and cover up, giving the cold shoulder, seeking to be self-protective and all of that, self-focused. And because we naturally pull into ourselves are more important sometimes than the Lord, this is what happens. Because our natural tendency is to self. It's important to be daily in God's word, yeah, which is active and living and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. The Holy Spirit will use the holy word of God to convict you at your deepest level so that your motivation is in your relationship with your husband and that it would be for the glory of God instead of the glory of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our words are to be edifying, our tasks sacrificial, our motivation for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And to remember that the oneness of the Trinity is what we want to have in our lives, that we want to help our husbands become as much like Christ as possible. So this is progressive sanctification.
Yeah, you have to be humble.
Any questions?
Another question, really, but there was a comment about, I forget where it was, maybe it was in that 261-page thing, about sharing, I don't know where it was, but anyway, we're supposed to share with our husbands the things that we felt like we were doing wrong and confess to them. And so I made a list of the things I need to confess, and I decided to do one at a time.
That's probably all they can answer.
Yeah.
But it worked out well.
Good. That's good.
Okay, I think one of the things that I want to remember to do is to preach to myself. We've heard that in over our women's studies that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. Mm. And sometimes I just want to do Edie's gospel, you know, and not the gospel of the Lord. So I think it's a challenge for us. I feel challenged. I want to see you all grow in that, too, and be able to be transparent, be humble.
Just a side note, the reason that it says 251 on that instead of 261, because like I have an older version, it's called Revised Edition, and it does, that goes with this
oh,
one.
Oh, okay, I have an anniversary or 10th anniversary edition.
So there's a couple of different editions, I think.
Okay.
So 251 goes with mine, called the Revised Edition.
Mm-hmm. One's expanded.
And one's expanded, and that was a different page. Just right. So you know if you do the study again.
Well, then maybe the title of the section would be more appropriate to print out. But mine is the 10th anniversary edition. So
mine too.
And then I have the Kindle edition, and there's no page number. So, but you find it.
You go in the end.
Well, you're all resourceful. Praise God for that.
Yes. I still found it.
Okay. Well, a couple of announcements, and maybe I should have announced this at the beginning. One of the ways that we can connect with some of the younger women is there are these beach days that are just starting. So they're alternating Tuesdays. 1 week will be at Minnesota Beach, which is right over here. And 1 week will be, is it every other week? I know first one
week.
Is June.
Yeah, they're every week.
Okay.
But they alternate between.
They alternate between Minnesota Beach and Nokomis Beach. And this is a good opportunity for you to connect with some of the younger women.
Yeah.
They go there with their kids, and some of them have 3 and 4 kids, and trying to watch and see where the kids are could be a challenge. So
serving opportunity.
That's right. And
what are the date ranges for that?
June 7th is the first one, and it goes through the first Tuesday in August. They're all on the calendar, as well as the location for each one, as well as maps.
Time.
So,
yeah.
And if you're not on our phone app, usually somebody will post on there, who's going to the beach today, on our women's thread. So if you're not on there,
I'm
going to
be in Pennsylvania. So.
I asked Bobby to maybe give a little insight to how her experience has been going to the beach. Or...
Bobby. Okay. I've been having some ladies come over to the pool, young moms come to the pool, to the community pool, and I've had them to my house too, but I just want to say it's totally has to be of God, because on my own, I am wicked selfish. I mean, I'm selfish with my time, I'm selfish with my husband's time and resources, whatever, but I pray that the Lord will make me a blessing, because mm-hmm. the opposite is sitting around wishing somebody would bless you.
yeah.
You know, and I am blessed beyond, my cup runneth over. But so this is a recent thing. Kyan has invited a few ladies to come over to the community pool where I am, and we both agreed that we like the pool better than we do the beach. Why? Because it's so sandy, and it's harder to keep an eye on the kids, and easier chance to lose them at the beach, and all those things. So, but for the beach day coming up, I said to Kyan, because we're already doing the pool, and if she wanted to go to the beach, that I would go. I've never been to the Nokomis one, but the Minnesota one is in my familiarity driving, because I don't like to drive. So, but I said, well, how about if I come to your house and I'll go with you to help take the kids? Because she was a little hesitant about even going, because she has a baby. Mm-hmm. And I said, I can be an extra set of eyes and hands, you know, and I can help you get your chairs to the beach. And she was real thrilled to that. But I'm going to tell you, the blessings that come back are way more than I think I'm doing on that end. It just does my heart good to even hear those little kids say my name, because they didn't even know it before. You know, Miss Bobby.
It does feel good.
I just love it that they know my name and I'm learning their names. I mean, it was all I could do to basically say, this is the lady and she has four. Those four belong to her and these are the names, but I don't know which one is which. It's just, I mean, I think it helps keep me a little sharper too, just to work on
it. It's a blessing that I know that a couple of people from our church here, obviously, that they truly do pray with their children, because I have little kids that will come up to me and say, how is Mr. Peter doing? You know? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I got a couple verses I'd like to share.
It's amazing. Little kids, you know, only because the parents take the time out to pray with them. Mm-hmm. And how's Mr. Peter going?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Mr. Peter.
Yeah.
It's two things that, for me, I was like, because I invited a couple, and I was fine with a couple. I kind of tend to do that, and I do better with smaller. And then they would say, well, can I invite this one? Can I invite that one? I'd be, okay. But then I'm like, why are you getting like that? And I thought, well, because at one point it was 21 children and 7 moms.
Nice.
And I'm like, wait a minute. They're watching their own kids. I mean, I'm just facilitating it. I'm not really doing anything.
Like, my community doesn't allow that.
I can... Yeah. I can help, or, you know, I mean, I can bring snacks. I'm good at that. But once I got over that, like, why am I being a little anxious about this? Is because I don't want to be responsible for all these little bodies. But they're moms, and it's such a blessing to me, because I have been in a lot of churches, and I've done Awana and all the different things. We're doing something right now by the Lord's grace, because I'm blessed to see godly parenting in action. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just Sunday. It's not just checking off a block. They are invested, in these their little families. And I'm just grateful to even be a small part of it. Did want to give you, I want a couple verses that come to my mind. So then, when we have the opportunity, let's do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And He, Jesus, also went on to say to the one who had invited him, whenever you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor wealthy neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you to a meal in return, and that will be your repayment. I mean, that's nothing wrong with doing that, but that's tit for tat. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. You know, you just... do it. and God enables you. If he calls you to do it, he'll give you what you need to do it. You know? Mm-hmm. And we do have different gifts. We all have different gifts. Mm-hmm. We're all parts of the body. Not all of us are going to be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, it's I want to invest in them. And it's it is such a blessing. It really is. The moms are a blessing to me, and the kids are a blessing.
Yeah, it's a great way to get to know the families.
I think going into it, though, my thing was I've done so much wrong, and I have an unsaved son and a daughter who's just recently returned. And it's like, what do I have to offer? Like, you know, I did it wrong. I don't want them to know how wrong I did it. But it's God's grace to me that he's given me a chance to be a blessing to somebody else.
That's great. Those circumstances does not mean that you did things wrong. God's in control of all those things.
There's a timeline for
me. I'm also the oldest of seven children, and we weren't believers.
I didn't hear what you just said.
I'm the oldest of seven.
Okay.
And like I met Jenica, you know, I mean, I knew Jenica, but I got to know her a little better at the pool, and she's the oldest of seven, and our order started to even go in the same order. But, and we weren't, it was different because you aren't Christians, but we didn't go places because there were so many of us. We didn't get invited to people's homes or anything, really.
Yeah.
You know, we were a lot to feed, and we were a handful. Mm-hmm. So,
I'm slowly going, involving myself a little bit more with the children. And it's not because I don't love children, it's because since I was a kid, that's all I did was tutor kids. And you know, I became a teacher, and I was a Sunday school teacher, and involved with directing something like, it's like a girls ministry type of thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember coming home from work, and we would go out to dinner, and I would go up to the hostess, and I would say, I have two requests. And she goes, yes. I says, really, three? She looks at me, and I go, yes. She goes, what is it? Please don't put me near the kitchen, don't put me near the bathroom, and don't put me near the children. You know, and it's because that was my time for, you know. And I really got burnt out. I mean, I had to really leave the profession because otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here. You know, I saw my health going down.
Yeah.
And I, you know, people thought because I love it, but it's my idol. My job was my idol, and I had to really go, and I prayed to God. I said, I'm not going to be teaching in Georgia. Please, God, take that feeling away and everything. And he did a good job. Washed it so clean to the point where people said, do you want to do this with children? No. And I said, why do I feel like that when I've been involved with children for so many years and everything like that? So I said, you know what? I'm just going to play it cool. It'll be God's timing when I'll start getting involved with doing all the children again. And when we went to that, the house, my memory is not that great as far as when we got together for the first time.
Lisa.
You know, those little kids. Hi, Miss Molly. I think I'm going. Okay, Lord. Okay, I guess it's time. You know, so it's all in God's timing as far as anything is concerned. But I'm glad that, you know, it gave me a good 12 years of break. I've been retired for 12 years or so, you know. And I think it's time now. And that's how come I was really wanted to be committed. And I was just telling her, I says, pain, oh no pain, I'm going to come. Mm-hmm. I says, because every time we start something, it's either something is wrong with me or something's wrong with Peter, and I can never fulfill a whole study, you know.
Yeah.
And I says, I'm committed to this here, you know, and I want to be committed to this. Mm-hmm.
But Myrna, we all have different spiritual gifts. All of us have different. So.
And it's at times. I was hope. You know, sometimes it's at the seasons. Things happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seasons, you know. And I wasn't too happy that it was just going to be that season for many, 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 many years. I said, I got a funny feeling that he'll bring me back, but in a different way.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.